Hello, hello, and welcome to the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I am your host, Brooke Collins, and welcome today. I'm going to try and keep it short today for those of you listening because I feel like I've been very long-winded the last couple of shows, episodes. But I'm talking today about problem drinking, gray area drinking, and what that means. And the difference, I guess, between that and alcohol use disorder is very simple. Okay. For me, this is how I explain it. So problem drinkers are drinkers who know that they should stop. They've had a scary experience. They've, you know, they're struggling with handling emotions or feelings, and they're using alcohol to numb it. It can be categorized as gray area drinking as well. Heavy drinker, whatever term you want to use. But alcohol use disorder is going to be someone who the willpower, it doesn't matter. They literally can't stop. The alcohol controls them. So why am I talking about that? And because I just want to touch on a struggle with alcohol and why saying goodbye to alcohol can actually help you more than hinder you. And most of you seem to think that it's going to be some giant suck fest if you quit drinking. And I agree. I felt the exact same way when I quit drinking. I was convinced that my life was going to be dull and crappy and I was never going to have fun again. And that's just not the case. So one thing, you know, that I like to look at is if you're having an internal struggle with your drinking, if you're looking at having a healthy life, you know, and wanting to continue to be a good wife, good employee, good daughter, good mom, you know, does living a sober life provide that for you, or will living a sober life provide that for you? And you don't have to be a full-blown addiction, right? That's why we're talking about heavy drinking, gray area drinking, because denial is one of the hallmarks of addiction, right? Like when you're an active addict, you don't think you have a problem most of the time until you're swirling the drain and can't do anything but accept that you have a problem. The gift of desperation is what I like to call it. So when you have a spouse who's worried about your drinking, probably a sign to look and evaluate it, right? So just because you have grown-up responsibilities and you have a degree and you have a job and you have kids and you have a home and you have vacations and you have the things, right? I'm looking at, is alcohol pulling at you more? Like, is it taunting you? Is it in your thoughts more, right? Heavy drinkers, this is specifically for you, gray area. Is drinking or not drinking becoming a deliberate forced situation? Whereas it used to be, I'm not drinking because I have to work earlier. I have like a conference that I've got to be on and I can't drink. When you are forcing a night of not drinking, right? You're making the effort and you're becoming increasingly preoccupied with thoughts about when, how much you're going to drink and which nights of the week you're going to drink and how many will you allow yourself to drink on the nights that you are drinking. And then you have the thought like, well, will I be able to stick with that number? You know, that is a sign that things are growing and it's becoming an air quote issue in your life, right? So a lot of times we can also think that gray area drinking, that our problem drinking is just a symptom of something else that's going on. Problems, stress, you know, people think that just because they could drink more in moderation without struggle, or they should be able to drink in moderation without struggle. So that's where a lot of this, you know, woo-woo talk is coming in, and it's making the king, the term self-care is kind of useless and mindfulness is kind of useless because people are using it incorrectly, especially after COVID. You know, you are struggling to moderate your alcohol and it's becoming a huge issue. So what do? You do more yoga, meditation, exercise, journaling, therapy, start grabbing self-help help books, right? Those are all things that come into play when you're struggling with an issue with alcohol and you're on the scale of a problem drinker. when you start to moderate, right, and control your drinking, mindful drinking, and you feel like you're failing and you have all these attempts and you can't stick to what you said you're going to do, right? You need more practice when you look at the attempts that you're making, right, to quit. I just need to get better. I just need to keep attempting it. I need to get back on the bicycle or after falling off, whatever you want to say, which is true. All very true. The problem is with trying and failing so many times is it starts becoming a self-deprecating process and you just keep drinking more and more, right? The more you fail, the more you drink. And instead, in theory, you think that the more you fail, the less you're going to drink. Not true. The more you fail, the more you're going to drink because you're drowning. And you're also drowning in the knowledge that, what does this mean? The knowledge of an issue, an inability to stop. How's that? So, a lot of times drinking is its own animal for a lot of women too. It's its own, you know, its own entity. It's a separate issue from other issues, right? But we use it symptomatically like, oh, well, I've had a really stressful week, so I've had a bottle of wine each night. And again, the interesting thing for people with problem drinking is addiction is a slippery slope. And none of us want to have to put the shame on ourselves for having to be coined an addict or the social stigma that comes along with that. But let me remind you, there are 23 million Americans working with addiction right now in our country alone. 23 million adults in the United States of America are in the workforce, currently holding down jobs, and are recovering or struggling with addiction. So that's a pretty high number of employed Americans that struggle with this. And it's so funny to me that there's still this social stigma of, God, I don't want to be labeled an addict, right? So why do some people go further down the track than others? I don't know. There's a ton of factors. There's lifestyle choices. There's the people you choose to hang around choices. And, you know, a lot of the time there's fear involved with admitting that you have an addiction. Hold on, I need a sip of my coffee. Okay. Fear. Right? That you're going to be an addict. And so problem drinking and gray area drinking can last a lot longer because of our ego, because we haven't done that yet. I don't like my relationship with drinking. I don't like the way that it makes me feel. I don't like how I'm waking up crappy and hungover and tired and groggy and moody, but I haven't been to jail yet. So I'm doing okay. Or I haven't lost friends yet, so I'm doing okay. Or, you know, my husband doesn't get mad at me that often yet, so I'm fine. Those are all things that we have to look at as actual like markers of, okay, this is getting in, I'm getting in deep. Because people who aren't gray area drinkers, problem drinkers, heavy drinkers, they don't have these thoughts. They don't have thoughts on the nights that they're not drinking, that they're not drinking. They're not fixated on it. They don't care. They're just not drinking. They're watching TV or doing whatever they're doing. And alcohol is not on their mind. So I want to go over with you real quick before we end the episode, just what are some questions you can ask yourself, right, about your drinking and if you need to cut back or if you need to take a step to be abstinent from alcohol. So I'm just going to throw out a couple questions. And these are questions that you can journal and answer yourself and become aware of where you fall on the line for yourself. So here's questions to ask yourself if you feel like you're becoming a problem drinker or your gray area drinking in relationship with alcohol is becoming a problem. Do you have a family history of alcohol problems? Number one, do you have a family history of alcohol problems? Number two, how much time do you spend each day and each week drinking? And I just want to remind you, when you're doing these, you're not publicly answering these questions or sending them back and submitting them. This is for your knowledge only. I highly encourage you to be as honest as possible, because lying to yourself is a waste of time. You're only hurting yourself. So make sure that you're honest here with yourself. That's another part of it. To be able to move forward and grow, you have to get honest. Okay, so do you have a family history of alcohol problems? How much time a day, each day do you spend drinking, or each week? Does alcohol occupy a lot of your time? What does that mean? Well, buying it, drinking it, recovering from the effects, right? Does it occupy a lot of your time? Do you drink more than you plan to drink? Has your tolerance changed? Do you need more alcohol to feel the effects? Do you get an urge or a craving for a drink? Has your drinking ever caused an embarrassing situation? Have the effects of alcohol ever caused you to miss work or school? Is drinking impacting your sleep or your mood? Is drinking impacting your relationship with your family and your ability to care for your family? So think about that. You can try keeping like a drinking journal, you know, which helps you to sort of see how much you're drinking. Because honestly, if you're anything like me, and I'm talking pre-me sliding down the scale of addiction, you probably don't even realize how much you are drinking. Glass of wine here turns into two, or you drink a half and you pour another half in without even recognizing that you're doing that. So then when you count your drinks the next morning, it's like, oh, I had two drinks. Oh, wait, no, I had like two and a half, three, right? Like an extra drink gets added in there, you know? And so those are questions that really need evaluation and really need honesty to be able to grow and cut back on drinking. And there's all kinds of tips and things to do to cut back. You can find a plethora of them online. I think the one thing that I could say that is the most effective is your community and your cheerleaders and the people supporting you, and boundaries are huge when thinking of even just cutting back alcohol, because our social situations and the people we have in our lives affect the choices that we make, because we want to belong and we want to be accepted and we want to feel understood. And so the people that you're choosing to be around you during this time of your life while you're looking for the change or a change is beyond important. I can't stress it enough. It's super, super, super important. So that's really all I'm going to talk about today. I hope that you guys have a really great week and you have a hangover-free week. And I am just going to say that I am launching the beta course in a week. The doors will open. Lots of you are already on the list to be in the course. I can't stress enough how excited I am about this. Like, I'm so pumped and nervous, but I feel compelled to help as many women out there that are looking for help and guidance with cutting back or quitting drinking. It is not an easy choice. And sometimes it doesn't have to be me, and it certainly doesn't need to be a paid for program, but being around people, even in an online setting, is supportive and helps give you purpose and helps you find meaning to a void that you've been filling and drowning in booze. So think about that, and I will link everything in the notes as always, but I hope that you all are having a wonderful day. Be on the lookout for my quiz too. I'm going to be doing a quiz on our signs, you know, are you sliding the scale of problem drinking? So hope you all have a good day, and I will see you guys next week.